Whatever you need, huh?
Okay, bye. How are you?
Thank you.
Does not involve money.
Thankfully.
Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, 9:30 a.m. It is April 27th, and the Portland City Council will come to order. Before we call the roll, though, I am pleased to make the following proclamation in honor of Travel and Tourism Week. And whereas travel matters to the nation's economic prosperity and its image abroad, to business wealth, and to individual travelers. And whereas travel to and within the United States provides significant economic benefits for the nation, generating $1.8 trillion in economic output in 2010, with $759 billion spent directly by travelers that spurred an additional $1 trillion in other industries. And whereas travel is among the largest private sector employers in the United States, supporting 14.1 million jobs in 2010, including 7.4 million jobs directly in the travel industry and 6.7 million in other industries. There will be a test later. Whereas in 2008, travelers to Oregon created more than 81,000 jobs, spent $8.2 billion, and generated $1 billion for federal, state, and local governments, funds used to support essential services and programs. And whereas international travel to the United States is the nation's largest single export industry, and whereas meetings, events, and incentive travel are core business functions that help companies strengthen business performance, and whereas leisure travel, which accounts for more than three-quarters of all trips taken in the United States, spurs countless benefits to travelers, creativity, cultural awareness, education, happiness, productivity, relationships, and wellness, and whereas travel is a catalyst that moves the nation's economy forward. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim May 7th through May 15th, 2011, to be Travel and Tourism Week in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this week. Thank you. Mr. Miller.
I just want to thank you for that proclamation. In honor of Travel and Tourism Week, we've moved our awards breakfast to May 10th. We have James Curley from Keene coming to talk about why livable cities make great destinations and his company's the importance of his company being here and what that means. We've got awards for many of our industry superstars, like the 13 Green Seal certified hotels in town.
13 now, that's great.
13, yeah.
And Green Seal is the equivalent of like LEED certification, the top, right?
Right. And we were getting more and more each day. We're going to be honoring Director Park for their contribution, Portlandia, Thomas Lauderdale, Alaska Airline, and many others. But when we talk about tourism being strong for our economy, it's really about jobs. And that's why I asked John Young from the Embassy Suites to come and talk about that.
Welcome, John.
Thank you. My name is John Young. I just want to talk briefly on the how tourism impacts my job directly. And, you know, basically when we have a strong tourist economy, I'm able to work more hours, you know, it positively affects my income as well as, you know, the hotel as a business as a whole, and not to mention the city. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody. It directly impacts me because when tourism is strong, you know, I basically have to plan my year around our tourist industry. Basically, you know, the spring, summer, and then early fall is very busy. So you plan for that, and then in the winter months it's very slow. So, you know, when tourism's strong, obviously it's better. So if we could have a strong tourist economy, you know, throughout the entire year, I think that would impact the city greatly with, you know, creating new jobs, more revenue for everybody as a whole. You know, I just think it'd be a great thing.
So. Thanks for being here and sharing the importance of travel and tourism as it relates directly to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Fish, Saltzman, Leonard.
Are here, sorry.
Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We'll proceed with communications. Can you please read item 391?
Request of Robert Hamilton to address council regarding continued funding for the Main Street program.
Good morning. Welcome to City Council.
Thank
you. Glad you're here.
I'm very happy to be here. My name is Robert Hamilton, and I am, along with Sheila Greenlaw Fink, co-chair of the Hillsdale Neighborhood Association. Today, I ask that you continue the funding of the Main Street program. I am also a member of the Hillsdale Main Street Economic Restructuring Committee, one of five committees benefiting from the leadership of Megan Bronston, executive director, and the work of more than 75 Hillsdale resident volunteers. I recommend that the Main Street program continue to receive your administrative and financial support for three reasons. One, Hillsdale was quick to respond to the application opportunity, successfully solicited its matching share of funds as required, recruited an extraordinary battalion of new talent to serve on five Main Street committees, including one we added on sustainability, and eagerly welcome the excellent training workshops offered by the PDC. The working relationship with PDC and other city agencies has been very beneficial to Hillsdale and has resulted already in new measures to enhance the town center. Two, the excitement created by the work of the Hillsdale Main Street Board and Megan Bronston has had a very positive impact on other organizations within Hillsdale. The Neighborhood Association, Hillsdale Alliance, Hillsdale Foundation, and the Business and Professional Association, among others. Attendance has increased at monthly Neighborhood Association meetings, and our HNA committees have new members who are actively pursuing projects and matters which are making Hillsdale a more appealing place to live. One need only read the Hillsdale News, the Southwest Community Connection, and other publications and blogs to see that the wheels of progress in Hillsdale have increased in number and velocity since the advent of Main Street. The positive impact includes not only the increased attention we are paying to the need for mutual support among our associations, the schools, the library, and other components of our community, but insight into how we may be able to make them more efficient. Indeed, we may see structural changes within our existing organizations to make better use of the time given to community matters by our resident volunteers. Three, while Hillsdale is one of the three neighborhoods selected to receive the most recent grants, Main Street really benefits a much larger number of neighborhoods within the Sweeney Coalition. That is true not only because the residents of our 17-member coalition visit one another's retail shops, trails, schools, and cultural activities, but because the Main Street Executive Director, Board, and committee members are actively looking for ways to link enhancement of the town center. By funding Main Street previously, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, you have made it possible for these link benefits of Main Street to begin. Continue to fund Main Street and watch the multiplier effect at work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Why don't we go ahead and read the three communication items, and you can all, the remaining three can all come up at once. Thank you, sir.
392, request of Ann Curran to address council regarding the Hillsdale Main Street. 393, request of Mike Roach to address council regarding the Hillsdale Main Street. And 394, request of Julie Richardson to address council regarding the Hillsdale Main Street.
Ms. Curran.
Hi. I appreciate the opportunity to address you all today. My name is Ann Curran, and I'm a resident of Hillsdale. I am currently the chairman of the Sustainability Committee for Hillsdale Main Street. And I'm here today to thank you for funding the Main Street program this past year and to share some highlights on how we've been using our grant in hopes that you'll continue to fund this effective program. Main Street has certainly been popular in Hillsdale. At our launch party, we had about 500 people join in to kick things off.
500?
Yep.
Wow.
And we have over 75 very active and dedicated volunteers. One of the nice benefits of Main Street has been that not only has it attracted longtime activists within Hillsdale, but also people like myself who are new to local community engagement. And Main Street's comprehensive approach has been unique in becoming a unifying bridge between local businesses and residents. I'll mention just a few projects to give you a sense of how we've been putting our funding and our volunteer base to good use. Currently, we have a landscaping project underway that will literally green up the streetscape and provide some tangible stormwater management benefits. It will also serve to make Hillsdale a more attractive destination to gather and to shop. This Sunday, we have a Springfest celebration to bring our community together and to attract our neighbors from nearby communities. And during that event, we'll be cutting the ribbon on a new pedestrian and bike plaza, enjoying some local food and entertainment, and promoting home and business composting. Additionally, we've been rolling out initiatives to assist our local businesses in incorporating sustainable practices. And we've been doing some economic analysis to help small business owners better understand the surrounding market so we can retain and attract local businesses. And that's really just a fraction of what we've been up to. We've got strong momentum, ambitious plans, and lots of enthusiasm from both businesses and residents. I request that you continue funding next year so that Hillsdale can further build upon your initial investment and realize its vision of a truly sustainable community. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Mr. Roach, welcome back. I like your button.
Thank you. As Mike Roach and Honorable Mayor and Commissioners, in front of you is a short volunteer history of Hillsdale Main Street. A small core group of a half dozen volunteers grew to our Main Street Board of a dozen directors, including myself, which then grew to the five standing committees with 74 volunteers, as mentioned by Ann. These committees collaborated to organize our launch party on February 10th. Truth be told, we declined to send you all official invitations because we questioned our ability to attract even 50 guests and didn't want to embarrass ourselves with low attendance. Well, we attracted over 500 participants.
That's amazing.
To Hillsdale that February night.
Where is that taken?
That's in KeyBank, the KeyBank. Thankfully, there were representatives from the mayor's office to attest to the success of the evening. As Ann mentioned, we're in the home stretch of planning for our first ever Hillsdale Spring Fest this coming Sunday, May 1st, to which you are all officially invited. A partnership with the Hillsdale Farmers Market, Hillsdale Spring Fest includes, but is not limited to, a beer and wine garden, live music, pedicabs, the Reiki School Art Fair, a ribbon cutting for our new public plaza between Food Front and Baker & Spice Bakery. As mentioned, our design committee is doing its final planning and permitting for a landscaping project to significantly enhance the appearance of Capitol Highway. And our economic restructuring committee partnered with the Community Development Department at PSU to produce a business retention and expansion plan, along with a market analysis, both of which will be presented at the May 18th meeting of the Hillsdale Business and Professional Association. I'm pleased and proud to report that we have filled a space vacant for over 4 years with the fourth location of La Belle Nail Salon, her first in the city of Portland, her other three being two in Lake Oswego, one in West Lynn. When I turned 60 this past December, and Paloma Clothing turned 36 this month, even my math-challenged mind realized I've spent over half of my life working to make Hillsdale and Portland the best communities they can possibly be. In all these years, I've never seen a program or an idea that came close to matching Main Street in its ability to attract new and extremely capable volunteers, most of whom, by the way, don't have gray hair and aren't going bald. There's finally hope for a new generation of business leadership in Hillsdale. Thank you for your support of Main Street, without which none of these accomplishments could have been realized. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for all your wonderful years of advocacy on so many issues.
The team effort.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
My name is Julie Richardson. I own two relatively young businesses in Hillsdale. I own Baker & Spice Bakery. We've been open for 6 years, and out of Baker & Spice grew Sweetwares, which is a baking supply store and a baking school, which we've been open for 2.5 years. We currently employ, which I'm frightened to always say, 22 employees, 19 of which are full-time.
Wow.
When I was looking for a site to open a bakery in Portland, I do live in Multnomah Village, so Hillsdale is in my neighborhood. But one of my attractions to Hillsdale was the longevity of other businesses in the area. Paloma Clothing for 36 years. A grocery store had been there for over 60. Gas station, other institutions such as the library, the schools, the Hillsdale Farmers Market. Those were all things that said there's support in Hillsdale for businesses as well as a community that are going to help me, support me through my younger years. We were also lucky enough to have bought out a retiring couple from a bakery that had been there for 50 years. So we sit on in a storefront that had been there for 50 years as a bakery. Over the last couple of years, I've seen, there's quite a few spaces for lease in Hillsdale. I have a food establishment that we sold product to that's been around for about 8 years that recently shut their doors. So these are things that frighten me as a business owner operating two businesses in Hillsdale. One of the assets I see, although some people say is a disadvantage, is Capitol Highway. Runs right through the hub of our business district, and thousands of cars pass by every day. What I see is that we need to gather their attention. We need to let them see that there is businesses here before they travel down to the big box stores down the street. So what I have both pledged my support financially and with time to the Main Street program. I'm really excited about all the programs that they've talked about, the sustainability, the events that have occurred that help support businesses like mine, and the greening of Capitol Highway will help people notice and stop and look to say, oh, wow, there's businesses in that neighborhood. I'd like to check them out. So I'm asking for your continued support for the Hillsdale Main Street program, and I hope to someday be the retired person that someone comes in along, hopefully not 50 years, but in about 20 years, that a young baker will come along and want to take over my space. So, thank you.
Can you repeat one more time, one of you, the fest? The
Spring Fest,
yeah.
May 1st. Yes, Spring
what
Festival.
What time does it start in the day?
9:30 to 6, this coming Sunday, May 1st. And what I didn't mention is Toyota is doing a farm-to-market event
tour.
Mm-hmm. At our farmer's market, which will probably attract a few extra thousand people. Mm-hmm. So we're all really excited about this event. And if you have it in your power to do an emergency ordinance for nice weather on that day, we'd really appreciate it.
We get right on that.
Okay.
It'll be the 10th year for the Hillsdale farmer's
yeah,
market.
Yeah, 10-year anniversary of that market.
Encourage all Portlanders to turn out this Saturday night.
Sunday.
Sunday. To encourage all Portlanders to turn out this Sunday.
Yes.
May
Day.
In Hillsdale, starting at 9:30 until
6.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yep.
Congratulations on all the great success.
Thank you very much for your assistance.
All right. Anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda?
We need four people.
Oh, we need four people. We'll pause a second then. We're blurring the lines in the school districts, so I don't want to. My preference would be to not raise the issue. Reynolds is doing, has the boundaries in the middle of the districts. They're doing with cradle to career, everyone's just sort of thrown in to a single bucket. Yes. They were given first priority. We will pause now. We'll pause for a moment of reflection. Any legal issues?
Oh, he's still there. So we can
do the report. Okay. Let's begin. Okay, we have a time certain at 9:30. Carla, can you please, it's a report, read the title for item number 395.
annual report for year 2010 of Office of Healthy Working Rivers.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very pleased to present this report on the Office of Healthy Working Rivers. As we remember, it was created in 2009 to bring a new action-oriented focus to the Willamette and Columbia Rivers. Under the leadership of Ann Beyer, the director of the Healthy Working Rivers Office, and with the dedication of her team, other city bureaus, and our river partners, we are moving forward beyond visioning to implementation. Ann and her staff are here today to highlight the importance of Portland's mighty rivers and show us some of the challenges and opportunities available to us. Ann Beyer.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and commissioners. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your leadership of the office. I'd like to introduce to you the Office of Healthy Working Rivers.
The entire office.
The entire office. Heidi Berg, Kevin Kildoff, Rick Bastach. We are very pleased to be here today. We prepared a report to you that does lay out the activities we've been engaged in since we were created in 2009. We're really proud of the work that we've done, and probably most importantly, the partnerships we've been able to build across the bureaus, but also with members of the Portland community. This is a complex system of rivers, and the issues are complicated. We need a lot more people than the four of us to make things happen. In order to give you some context on why we think the Rivers Office is critical and why, indeed, the rivers are so important to Portlanders, I've asked Rick to put together a little presentation. We used a similar presentation in a public forum in January, but it reminds us of the importance of the rivers to our community, to our community's economic and ecological health. So, Rick?
Thank you, Ann. We are pleased to be here to give a presentation that recaps the printed report in front of you. It takes about 15 minutes, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. We'd like to speak to you first about how rivers figure into Portland's identity, how Portlanders have connected with rivers through time, and the role of the Rivers Office in building partnerships, engaging Portlanders, and leveraging the city's river health efforts. So it turns out, in terms of identity, living at the confluence of two great rivers has been a great idea for millennia. Native Americans lived and prospered here for tens of thousands of years before European settlement, building at the mouth of the Willamette, and as shown here at Willamette Falls, vibrant regional centers of trade. They discovered the core of discovery as Lewis and Clark moved along the Columbia and Willamette Rivers in 1805 and 1806. And that was the voyage of the core of discovery was, of course, which set the stage for European settlement. And it was the rivers that put the port in Portland and put Portland on the map as a vibrant waterfront center, a community worth living in, worth moving to, an infrastructure worth protecting. We find identity, too, in what we put over rivers. Portland's a city of bridges, bridges that may no longer be, like the first Morrison Street Bridge, bridges that have yet to be. The TriMet Transit Bridge, the first of its kind in the nation, that's set to take shape this summer. We cross rivers with bridges, but it's rivers that bridge through time, through experience. They create community generation to generation. Whether you're fishing for salmon in 1841, 1891,
that's a big one,
or 2001. Yeah, they're getting smaller, I think. That still creates an irreplaceable sense of place. Whether you're swimming in the Willamette in 1905 at the Oaks Bathhouse, or diving into the Willamette today in the Portland Triathlon, it's these experiences that create community and always have since Portland's founding. When Daniel Lounsdale came to town and surveyed the city's 200-foot blocks, he laid claim to land along the river, understanding it might be useful. And like so many useful things, they can be used up. And that was the state of the waterfront in the early 20th century. It was a state of disrepair. It was a public health and sanitation menace exposed to periodic flooding of the Willamette River, as shown in the lower left-hand photo. And so Portland's rethought their connection to the river, they redeclared the kind of river edge they wanted by building a state-of-the-art seawall, clean as a whistle, modern technology capped by a modern byway, taking care of one set of problems. But it wasn't the only set of problems that Portlanders and Oregonians had at the time. Right in front of this building a few years ago in 1938, Mayor Joe Carson.
Was that Friday or right in front of the 1938?
I don't know. It was a year or two before my time.
What was that?
We had a demonstration Friday from Waterfall.
Oh, okay.
More hats in this photo.
Okay.
He combined with the youth of the city of Portland to demand clean rivers, and their voices became instrumental.
He's the guy with the big drum.
Big drum, yep. Derby hat,
yep.
A big voice, I would think, loud enough anyway to be instrumental in passing the ballot measure that led to the Water Purification and Prevention of Pollution Act of 1938.
Before you leave that picture, I just need to point out anecdotally that the young man to our right of the guy holding the drum came to council here a few years back, and I met him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was very interesting.
I'd love to have captured what he said. Maybe I can go back.
It was very interesting.
But it's just an example, I think, of how Portlanders work for cleaner rivers as a point of civic pride. And in the 1950s, Harbor Drive was still a point of civic pride, kind of a shout-out from Portland. We're modern. We have parkways. We have cars. We have tugboats and bridges. But the river kept occurring to Portlanders. What is it that we need to do to be a better river place? So Portlanders rethought and replaced Harbor Drive with Waterfront Park in the 1970s. Similarly, in the 1960s, Portlanders craved a connection with the interstate highway system and got enthusiastic about it, and maybe losing sight a bit of what it means to be a river town. Again, through time, Portlanders rethought what it means to be a river town, and with a lot of cleverness, a lot of dedication, energy, and some money, reshaped a skinny portion of the East Bank into what is now a signature space, the Vera Katz East Bank Esplanade. About that time, then, Portland, I think, decided to become a little bit more deliberate and organized in its river thinking, and that's when the River Renaissance Program was established. And that program worked with council to articulate a river vision and five river goals: assure a clean and healthy river for fish, wildlife, and people, maintain a prosperous working harbor, embrace the river as Portland's front yard, create vibrant waterfront neighborhoods, and promote partnerships, leadership, and education. The council adopted a set of actions under the River Renaissance Strategy a few years later in 2004 that would achieve those goals, which brings us up almost to today, when newly elected Mayor Adams requested Commissioner Saltzman to assess the river program. He said yes and concluded that there had been significant successes, but that coordination could still be greatly improved. And one way that improvement could take place was to place the river program directly under a council member to focus on promoting watershed health, facilitating integrated responses to regulations, identifying and prioritizing habitat sites, improving boating facilities and trails, helping implement the river plan, and advising council on Superfund opportunities. Council heard the recommendations and took action by establishing the river's office in January 2009. The office was assigned to Commissioner Fritz with responsibilities to protect and restore the ecological, transportation, and recreational roles of the Willamette and Columbia Rivers, to rehabilitate contaminated inactive properties in the working harbor, and to ensure that the city meets its Superfund obligations and responsibilities. In pursuing those responsibilities, the office has three basic roles. The first is collaboration, collaborating closely with local partners. Second, linking the great work of many city bureaus to the tasks at hand, and bringing together people and resources to achieve the city's river goals. We do this through an organization that's funded through the Bureau of Environmental Services, which is to say ratepayer dollars. So although the Rivers Office mission embraces both environmental protection and economic development interests by virtue of the funding source. Our present-day emphasis is on the former, namely promoting watershed health through six positions, one on loan to BES, as advised by a 20-member citizen committee. Our work sort of falls into three areas. One is forming partnerships. We're going to give a few examples, a couple of examples. There are more in the report before you. But we're working with Meyer Memorial Trust on building a Willamette community all along the river. Turns out those of us with the Willamette persuasion, whether you're in Eugene, Corvallis, Salem, or Oregon City, are turning back to the river and confronting difficult problems in pretty innovative ways. And so we think there's a lot we can do to learn from each other and help each other. We're also partnering with Portland Parks and Recreation to develop a comprehensive Willamette River recreation strategy to take a close look at how we're currently recreating on the river, how that could be improved, where we want to go with how to enjoy and reconnect with the river in ways that assure that we protect our fish and wildlife heritage. Another area that we're working in is leveraging the city's river health efforts, namely developing a mitigation bank framework. We're speeding river restoration by funding the design of a project, a restoration project in the North Reach, and working closely with the city's Superfund team on the cleanup effort. Lastly, we're engaging Portlanders. We've had a big part in previous years in helping establish Portland's annual celebration of the Willamette River called Riverfest, and we're becoming information central for the river curious, getting more and more public queries about river questions and concerns. We publish a monthly calendar, Rivers News Digest. We have monthly River in Focus brown bags, and we've developed what we think is a fairly encyclopedic website that puts lots of river information at the fingertips of citizens. For example, being able to click and find out, for example, today, this is today's graph of what the Willamette River is doing in Portland. It's been higher, and now we're at about 50,000 cubic feet per second. We can have people click on a button and find out which ships are in harbor, literally where they're moored, what kind of ships they are, where they came from, and where they're going. There are ways to find out how to get closer to the river, what parks are on the river, how to get out and bike and walk along the river, book a cruise, rent a kayak, and otherwise enjoy this tremendous asset. Rivers history, again, lots of historical elements to our rivers, and this is an example of how you can click into the journals of Lewis and Clark to see what they made of the rivers that they were pretty sure they were discovering, though people had been here for thousands of years. Our work to date, we've partnered with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability on river planning. We've initiated the Willamette River Recreation Strategy. We're collaborating with the Bureau of Environmental Services on mitigation and restoration. And we've responded to our advisory committee, who asked us to look into maintenance dredging, an assessment of methods that might be available to address the problem of when boat ramps silt in. Could there be solutions to freeing up those facilities in ways that maintain fish and wildlife integrity? Coming up, we want to continue to support BES efforts to design, fund, and construct a North Reach restoration project. We need to submit our paperwork on mitigation banking, namely a prospectus and banking instrument, to regulatory authorities so we're bona fide and certified to do business along those lines. We'll complete and report back to council on the Willamette River recreation strategies. We want to be helpful to events that bring people to our rivers. For example, the PDX Bridge Festival this year, celebrating the 10th anniversary of the East Bank Esplanade River Fest. There's a big float the last Sunday in July, a big inner tube extravaganza that should be a lot of fun, get people right down to the river. We're collaborating with TriMet and OMSI on a new Willamette River Ecology exhibit that'll open this summer. We'll renew the periodic publication of the State of the River reports and performed assigned tasks in the West Hayden Island evaluation as directed by council. As we approach these tasks over the next year, we're going to be informed by lessons, I guess, what we think we're learning. And one is that the river's edge is complex. It's a mixing zone of many interests and needs, all of which warrant attention and respect. Secondly, there's a lot of territory. Portland has 17 miles of the Willamette, 12 miles of the Columbia. The open space represented by the Willamette Channel alone is 3,000 acres. I mean, you compare that to Forest Park, 5,000 acres. It's a big space. important space for the people of Portland. Also learning that yesterday's solutions can become today's problems. Here's the seawall, pretty important in 1996 in preventing flood damages, but not so hot for habitat or for linking people to the river downtown. So we understand that there will be more people coming to Portland. Issues never stop. There may be new endangered species listings, like for the lamprey. We're learning more about pharmaceutical and personal care products and their impact on water quality. There's the ever-present question mark around climate change. And there's work already queued up that we know we need to pay attention to. Superfund cleanup, our stormwater management programs, waterfront redevelopment, all of which add up to our understanding it's going to take the work of many people over the long term to continue progress, and that's why we are so thankful for the great work of the bureaus to date, not only day to day, but the legacy they provided as a foundation for our continued work with them, some of which is represented here. It's also in your report. We're trying to interact productively, and we always learn something when we work with our fellow bureaus, so we look forward to a lot more of that. And so that's sort of it. Operators are standing by. So we hope people will visit.
You're all here.
we have voicemail. So we hope you'll visit the website. And that concludes the presentation.
Thank you. Again, thank you to all our partners in the bureaus, to our advisory committee, 20 members with very diverse and different views of the river, but they are our eyes and ears on the river, and that's how issues surface to us. In also from the bureaus where they have particularly sticky issues, we're able to give them a little bit of assistance and able to leverage resources to begin to work on these issues. We're really excited to be working with Parks on this river recreation strategy, a holistic look at river needs. There's a survey out right now, an online survey, to help capture Portlanders' experience on the river. How do they use the river currently? How would they like to use it in the future? I think in a week we had over 1,000 responses.
We're at 1,288.
So, I don't know if they're all fishers or jet boaters or kayakers, but that's not a bad return surveys in the spring. So we should get some good information to help make decisions in the future. Again, I think one of the reasons the Rivers Office is here is to add value to the existing programs. We're also here to remind Portlanders of how great our rivers are. We've made considerable investments in our river water quality over the last 10 years. Now we'll begin to reap those benefits, and the rivers will truly become an amenity to the city of Portland in a way that they have been in the past, but that we're allowed to rethink that connection through the Portland Plan and some of the other efforts. So thank you for your support for the office. Thank you for the work that your bureaus do in helping us out, and we look forward to answering any questions.
We will be voting to accept the report, but before we do that, does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can you please call? Move acceptance of this report.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Dish.
We at Parks greatly value the partnership with you and all the folks at the office. The breakthrough work we did together recently to get the Greenway going in South Waterfront is a good example of where a close working relationship allows us to work through very thorny regulatory issues to get to the right place. We appreciate the work we've done together on the No Wake Zone around Ross Island and some perhaps new initiatives to continue to protect that vital area. And we also appreciate the collaborative nature of the relationship with you and with the commissioner in charge, Commissioner Fritz, as we move forward. So thanks to both of you and your teams for good work. I appreciate this update, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard?
I, too, appreciate the good work. I've been impressed with I think this is the second report that we've received with the work that you all do. And, of course, I think the one thing that's probably the elephant in the room that I'd just like to address is this is another one of those really good services with people that do really good work that is part of what our utility rates fund. And I am a firm believer that to the extent that we can utilize our utility rates even tangentially to support activities that in this case affect sewer rates, in another matter we'll vote on in a few minutes, assigning water fountains to the Water Bureau to support makes sense. And it's a smart use, I think, of our resources. It's a smart use of those utility fund dollars to improve the quality of life of Portlanders, and I'm very pleased to support your ongoing work. Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. That was a good note. I was going to comment that because we have only rate funding right now, our emphasis is on the healthy part rather than the working part, that we have not been able to move forward in some of the economic development strategies that we would still like to do, which is part of the office's mission. So I'm hoping that as the economy recovers that we can put some general fund dollars into that part of the work next year. We are, of course, collaborating with the Portland Development Commission and their programs, which again have suffered from lack of funding over during the recession. And we are working on the Superfund issues, and Patty Howard on my staff is funded through the Rivers office and is the glue in City Hall to make sure that we're coordinating correctly on Superfund issues. The mayor and I met with Congressman Bloom there on Friday, and that's a crucial issue that's coming down the pike that will be very important to the economy of our rivers as well as to the health of our rivers. And so it's good to know that we have four very dedicated staff who are knowledgeable about all of these issues and bringing this annual report. Thank you for noticing that too, because it's important that when we're doing good work that we report back to citizens to let them know how their rates have been spent. So thank you very much for your good work. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to highlight the leadership of Commissioner Amanda Fritz in informing the Office of Healthy Working Rivers, putting the work plan together, and then working to hire this great team and partner with a whole bunch of my bureaus to get good stuff done. I'd like to highlight the North Reach plan efforts that has been as complicated a planning process as I've ever been involved in. And your work, your leadership, and your work under Commissioner Fritz has helped us get through to the point we are today. So thank you very much. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for 10 o'clock, time certain, item number 396, a report.
396, accept year one results of the Citywide Wellness Strategic Plan.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
This is the Commissioner Fritz reports day. Because we want to let taxpayers know how we're spending your money, in this case on the wellness program. So it's my pleasure to introduce Kathy Bless, the Benefits and Wellness Manager, and Yvonne Decker, the Bureau of Human Resources Director, to present this report.
Ms. Decker.
Good morning, Council. Last year, the Council, for the first time, adopted a comprehensive strategic wellness plan for the City of Portland. And we're here today to present some findings and accomplishments over the first year of the plan. Kathy will be doing the PowerPoint presentation for your information.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I am Kathy Bless, the City's Benefit and Wellness Manager, and I'm here today to talk about the City's wellness program. And at the end of this, ask that you adopt the report that's been provided to you. After the first year, I am happy to report that we've made some important steps forward. We also need to discuss continued opportunities and challenges within the plan that we must act on to further employee wellness within the city. The purpose of the wellness program is to decrease healthcare costs for physical and mental illness and disease through promoting and supporting healthy lifestyle choices by employees and their dependents. And the mission is to provide support and resources to motivate employees in taking personal responsibility to minimize preventable risk factors. The strategic plan adopted three primary goals: to create a culture of wellness within the city of Portland, increase employee participation in wellness program activities, and create on-site activities, programs, and plan design in support of obesity, cancer, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, musculoskeletal health, and stress and depression benchmarks. I am proud of the forward momentum within the city regarding participation, and know we will continue to provide valuable opportunities to make it easier for employees to make healthy choices. We offer a wide variety of options and have a good participation base and program foundation for moving forward. Our goal to increase involvement in city fitness classes by 5% in 2010 was met. Our goal to increase participation in worksite wellness exams, the blood screening, was not met, although we did increase our participation by quite a number between last year and this year. We still have not tested the 30% of employees that we wanted to. Cumulatively, we've tested 39% of employees, but we still have a ways to go here. We continue to struggle with accessibility of programs at some locations, with minimum participation levels at some of the smaller work sites throughout the city, and that makes it hard to bring fitness instructors in because of those cost barriers in providing those services to a very small group of folks.
So I did the blood testing. It was very convenient and very helpful, and I'll live for another day or two, at least according to the results. If you could go back one slide.
Absolutely.
So the participation in the, is the wellness exam more than the blood screening?
No, that is, we're trying to change the naming convention of that to make it sound a little bit more positive than blood screening. and really, cumulatively, it encompasses a wellness screening because it provides for BMI testing, blood pressure, and then the blood screening.
Okay.
Remind people what BMI means.
Body mass index.
Basically, it's height and weight, right?
It is height and weight. It's a consistent marker that provides a measurement whether or not somebody is really reaching some obesity levels that we need to be concerned about.
Thank you.
Welcome. So, participation has really taken off in the last 3 to 6 months with regard to some of the fitness-related activities that the city offers. We have some very successful activities, especially with the new Zumba class that is on Thursday afternoons in the Portland building.
What is boot camp?
Boot camp. It is the bear crawl. It is push-ups, sit-ups.
Not yelling by some drill instructor.
No. Oh,
okay.
No,
okay.
She only yells a little.
Okay.
What's Zumba?
And Zumba is exercise with a Latin beat. So it is music. I'm not demonstrating, but thank you very much. Come to class on Thursdays.
There you go.
At noon.
Just to emphasize, these, as Kathy just said, this is at noon. This is on folks' lunch hour. This is not paid employee time.
Right.
People participate on their own time.
We also have fitness and stretching programs at Interstate Water. We have a very successful stretching program at Kirby Maintenance, and we've been able to put in place a yoga class at the Water Pollution Control Lab. So we will continue to look for opportunities. The strategic plan also targets obesity, the cardiovascular health, structural health, cancer, stress, and depression. The emotional and debilitating effect of chronic illness is staggering. Obesity can be an emotionally defeating and debilitating chronic condition, and collectively as an employer, it is critical we continue to make this a primary target, and we're not there. We have not met our goals yet, and we're not on target to meet our goals. the goal to reduce employees' BMI by 5% by 2013, we've made less than a half percent point difference from those markers in the wellness screening from 2010 to 11. Our goal to improve blood pressure results by 10% is not on target to be met either. We have lost ground between 2010 and 11 with acceptable blood pressure readings in our most current testing cycle.
And I think I'm personally responsible for that from 2010 to 2011. I apologize for that.
Really?
It has been a very stressful time for city employees with so many layoffs and extra work and such, and less time to exercise and do healthy things. So I hope with other strategies as well as the economy recovering that we'll see some positive change in that next year.
I hope so, too. As you all know, during the 2009-10 plan year, the Labor Management Benefits Committee embraced appropriate changes to the city core plan, aligning benefit offerings to wellness goals. And the new plan gives broader access to primary care providers by allowing free annual wellness exams and eliminating the deductible for many regular services participants need to take care of themselves throughout the year. And because of these changes, we don't have all the data on how the plan is behaving until after the first plan year closes. What I hope to see in the coming years is measurable improvement in normal glucose ranges and continued improvements in cholesterol markers because of the wellness activities offered and the programs in place within the healthcare plan to offer support with those battling these conditions. We can the goal to improve glucose levels, we are making some slight improvement there. It's stable, and our goal to improve an employee's total cholesterol ratio is continuing to improve. And I think that that showing 3 years of improvement is quite a marker and really positive for employees.
But in all seriousness, it is interesting that while in that same time period that the cholesterol ratio has improved, blood pressures have increased. So has there been any observations as to why employees are clearly doing
something? Well, I'll take a quick stab at it because I'm not a medical professional, and so I don't want to get in too much trouble. But cholesterol and blood pressure can have a relationship, but if someone were on cholesterol-lowering medication, you would expect that their cholesterol would be lower and they're not going to be building up all of this plaque in their bloodstream, but they still may have problems with their blood pressure. Okay? We continue to struggle with communication and outreach efforts, and our biggest threats remain inflation, large claims, and the total cost of poor health. We are seeing some improvements in how folks access care and assistance within the health plan. We have, year-to-date, 112 folks enrolled in chronic care coaching programs within ODS. So that is back prevention type programs, lifestyle management, disease management, stress and depression. We have, we're on target to increase the number of preventive care screenings that adults are getting in our plan. We're on target to increase the number of mammograms that participants are receiving. And we're on target to increase the connection between the participant and their primary care provider through the office visits.
May I ask you a question? We're in April. How are you doing your annualized projections?
These are numbers through March. So we've divided and annualized over to get to where we think we're going to be by the year end. We don't have information if employees only get their preventive exams through one cycle of a year. Maybe they always do it in the fall. And if that would affect an annualized amount. But this is purely just a function of dividing what we currently have and then annualizing it through the plan year.
But that top number is 112 year-to-date?
That includes the people that were in it last year and the new people that have come. So we've increased the participation by 10%, but we still, there's a whole host of people out there that really would gain value from participating in this type of program. We'll continue to market it and continue to talk with people individually.
Thank you.
Culture of wellness. This is the last primary goal of the strategic plan, and you have a committed staff and committed wellness committee and a committed commissioner with regard to wellness. You have a good participation base, a growing number of wellness champions, and growing interest. However, within the employee wellness survey that was distributed in the fall of 2010, 14.5% of survey participants said they didn't feel support from their bureaus for employee wellness. And 28.5% said that they were not receiving encouragement to set personal wellness goals. And sometimes the lack of that type of visibility can be seen as a lack of commitment. We need to create ways to provide council, bureau directors, managers, and supervisors more opportunity to be engaged. Our goal to embrace lifestyle management within the work environment is coming along. You know, the culture of wellness really is not something that can be resolved in a year. We have to be diligent. We have to really look at opportunities and really communicate those opportunities to employees in ways that reach them. We have improved much of that this year. We tape all of our presentations and load them online, so employees that don't have the ability to be downtown for a presentation still have the ability to watch the information. And we've developed and encouraged bureau focus groups to establish unique wellness opportunities within their own dynamic and what's going on with the bureau. And then the goal to identify and utilize bureau resources for wellness programs has not been fully developed, and we'll be working on this, of course, through the coming year. We do offer a couple of annual ongoing opportunities that are important components of the program and really speak to providing a culture of wellness to employees. Participation levels need to rise to ensure we have appropriate data to measure results and that we have a clear picture of what value each of these programs has to offer. We provide monthly education to Interstate Water and Maintenance. Nicole goes out and does those presentations and provides education that's timely and really based on their particular needs, like how to stay hydrated during the summer because they're working on the streets, things like that. And then benefit essentials, we have provided diabetes education. We have provided education on the chronic care programs and even PERS. So it really runs the gamut of opportunity for employees to learn how to support themselves. Solutions to continue to make improvements and increase efforts to measure results. We will target manager and supervisor education this plan year to offer education that's specific to that group. We will enhance our mental health provider panel in the coming months for July. And that will really offer better coordination within our employee assistance program, which we're very excited about. We'll have a new look and approach. Yeah.
What is the problem you're fixing there, just for my information?
Currently, the city provides coverage for psychiatrists, psychologists, and licensed clinical social workers. By broadening the panel to licensed professional counsel workers,
workers.
Oh, panel means?
A broader array of available caregivers.
Okay, I'm right. Sorry.
That's okay. And the EAP has those providers set up, and it will provide really a warm transfer through the mental health services provided from EAP. If they need to continue to see a mental health provider, that transfer can be made to an in-network provider, which is really important and will be lower cost to them.